Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome back to 3GT, Three Guys Theologizing, where three guys, I don't want to call us gentlemen, three guys get together and we discuss topics that range, it's a broad gamut of topics, but we discuss it from a distinctly Reformed perspective with an eye to practical application of Christianity to our daily lives. I am one of the co-hosts, Scott Hunt, joined as always or usually by co-host Kyle Borg from Winchester, Kansas, and Barry York from Beaver, Pennsylvania. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. And I think that we, you know, I know you would never say this about yourself. So in the spirit of let another praise you, I will say it. You might just in your mind be a co-host, but it's very clear that you are the preeminent host of this podcast.
Wow.
Condescension will get you nowhere, Kyle.
I understand why you would interpret that as condescension because of our riddled history. But, Scott, there's no condescension.
Is it riddled history or riddled present?
Ouch. Ouch. I'm trying really hard, man. I am just trying to give you the esteem that you deserve.
Thank goodness for the mic because I was coughing right there. I appreciate that, Kyle. Barry, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you.
Good. Well, you guys are just kind of dour, like, I don't know, Eeyores today. But Kyle's more like Pooh, but...
Pooh, I'm all cuddly stuffed with fluff. That's me, Scott. If you were to be Eeyore or Pooh, which one would you be?
I would be the Pooh. That's, you know...
I knew it.
Yeah. So, well, it's good to join you guys again. I do look forward to this, 5 minutes before we begin, I look forward to it. Until then, I'm like, oh man, do I have to do this? I'm choking.
But you're not.
That feeling,
that's the best
that feeling never goes away. No, it's good to be with you guys. And, it's been a couple of weeks, but, the church has lost a figure. He's prominent in the American church or was, maybe not, necessarily everybody's agreeing with him, but he did have a pretty popular name. John MacArthur passed away not too long ago, and it got us thinking, how do we honor that? How are we to think about and how are we to speak about those saints who have gone before us? And, you know, what's the proper posture that the church or the individuals are to have when a saint goes home to be with the Lord? I thought it might be good for us to reflect on that, discuss that, figure out what our response should be, how we should remember, how we should discuss. Should we genuflect before the memory of a giant like that? That's a bit hyperbole there. But, you know, what should be our attitude? So, first of all, does the Bible speak, guys, does the Bible speak of, you know, how we are to treat people who are, raised into positions kind of like a John MacArthur, or, you know, we can look back a few years ago with R.C. Sproul's passing, people like that. You know, is there a way that we should honor them or treat them, at least when they're alive? You know, does the Bible speak to that at all?
Yeah, so... the Bible actually teaches us to think in a paradigm in answer to that question, Scott. And it is the paradigm that is set out for us in the fifth commandment, which is honor your father and your mother. And of course, a Reformed understanding of the Ten Commandments is that there is wider application in some measure than just what we might strictly and very narrowly or even woodenly think when we hear honor your father and your mother. The priority there is obviously on natural parents and natural relations, the way in which children honor their moms and their dads. But, you know, our larger catechism says, you know, our natural parents are not the only ones who are meant by mother and father in the fifth commandment. Larger catechism, question and answer 124, asks, who are meant by father and mother in the fifth commandment? By father and mother, the fifth commandment are meant not only natural parents, but all superiors in age and gifts, and especially such as by God's ordinance are over us in place of authority, whether in family, church, or commonwealth. So maybe just to say that the catechism emphasizes especially those who are over us by God in an authoritative position. You know, in that case, John MacArthur, outside of his congregation, John MacArthur had no real spiritual authority over, you know, just to use him as an example. And yet, the catechism recognizes there is a place, and this is very biblical, and I'm sure we'll get more into it, but to give a degree of honor to those who are superiors, not only by means of an authority, but those who are superior in age and in gifts. There's an honor that is due to them, and the fifth commandment teaches that.
Just to go along with that, you know, we're Presbyterians. John MacArthur lived in a more Baptist and independent church world, but there's a lot of appreciation shown to him by leading Presbyterians. He was a really good friend of R.C. Sproul, who you mentioned. I think there was a respect for him. I mean, he pastored in the same congregation for 56 years and was quite influential, preached through every book of the Bible during that time, has written extensively.
Well, every book of the New Testament, right?
Oh, I thought it was every book.
I don't think he preached. Did he preach through every book? Okay. Sorry.
I thought I heard that a while ago, but I could be wrong. I could easily be wrong. We'll verify that before the episode's over, I'm sure, with your Google abilities, Kyle. But
ChatGPT is better.
Yeah. So anyway, I think, as Kyle's saying, though he didn't have any direct authority over any of us, there is an admiration that we can have for someone who's served the Lord for so long and so faithfully, even despite the fact that they can have flaws, or we have certainly disagreements with his dispensational theology or his views on baptism, that type of thing. We can still be thankful for the way that the Lord used him.
You know, not to fact check you, Barry, because I want to give you honor as well as one who is superior to me in age and in grace. John MacArthur did preach in depth through every book of the New Testament, but perhaps unsurprisingly, knowing some of his theology, yeah, he was far more selective in the Old Testament.
Okay, okay.
He did not preach through every book of the Old Testament.
I don't mind being corrected.
Do we know what books he did not preach through in depth in the Old Testament, Kyle?
I'd be willing to wager almost anything he did not preach through the Song of Songs.
Are you going to look that up on ChatGPT?
So ChatGPT says that Daniel, Zechariah, Jonah, and a number of the other minor prophets were covered in depth, and then it does not reference any other books of the Old Testament that were covered in depth.
None of the books of the law.
Yeah, none of the books of the law, none of the histories.
Of course not. Of course not.
Sorry, Scott, theonomist, you.
I know. I'm sorely disappointed. You know, Gary North probably would have preached through them.
But, you know, to turn the page on this whole theonomist nonsense, I don't really need to talk about Gary North. So, Scott, you know, one of the questions you asked is, you know, maybe before we get to how we think about those who have gone before us in death and still honor them. You know, I think, so to put some scriptural texts to what we are saying, you know, you have Romans chapter 13, where the apostle begins by talking about the responsibilities that Christians have toward the civil magistrate. And as he kind of brings that to its conclusion, he says in Romans 13, verse 7, pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. So Paul is setting out this Christian ethic that we are to give honor to those that should be honored. Now, it's interesting because I think we sometimes live in a cultural context, and you know, it's kind of a cliche, quippy saying, but you know, respect isn't deserved, it's earned. And I actually think the Bible kind of turns that a little bit on its head. And there is a sense, perhaps, in which respect is earned, honor is earned. And yet, again, given what the Fifth Commandment says, some of it is just owed out of a love for God and a right love for neighbor. You know, I think about what Paul says to Timothy, and this is something that not just as a pastor, but in congregational life and in the way that we relate to one another. You think about Paul telling Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, you know, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. And then he goes on to say, you know, and treat older women as mothers. Right there, you see Paul using the categories of the Fifth Commandment to govern the way that we relate to one another in the church. And Paul doesn't say there, well, Timothy, when they've earned it, when they deserve it, you know, then treat them like a father or a mother. He just says, no, in virtue of the natural position that you're younger than these people, there is a degree of respect and honor that you need to show to those who are older. If they're older men, you need to honor them and encourage them the way that you would honor your natural parent.
Does that work for everybody? I mean, are pastors, do they fall in that category, Kyle?
Well, Timothy was a pastor, Scott. I think, you know, I think there are some neutral zones like podcasts.
Okay, you know, that's what I was getting at.
I think when we happily introduce ourselves as co-hosts, there is an egalitarianism when we log in to this. Hey,
but of us are a little bit older than you.
Scott, would you, okay, Dad.
There you go. I'm an old guy. I'll admit it. I mean, shoot, I wear cardigans to work out sometimes, you know. I'm right there. But it does. I do have a somewhat of a serious question. You know, you talk about honor being owed, you know, giving honor to who honor is due, as a father. In our denomination, you know, a lot of the correspondence that goes out, fathers and brothers, you know, that's how we greet each other. So we're certainly showing that respect, but you know, is it like everybody is owed respect, but some more than others? Like everybody's created equal, just in different tax brackets kind of thing. Like, do we honor some people more than we honor others?
I would say yes. I think that as people have influence in our lives, there are people that are close to me that I have viewed as, you know, a special relationship with, and that doesn't mean that then I have the right not to honor other people. It just means that I'm going to have a greater endearment towards certain people that the Lord's used in my life. I think that's just natural. So I think that happens. And I think when we see someone who's just really faithfully served the Lord, sacrificed for the Lord, sometimes I get around a missionary and just see all the sacrifices they're making for the Lord. It's very humbling to be around them. You want to just give them honor for how they're pouring their life out for other people. So yeah, I think that's a natural thing in the kingdom of God.
Yeah. I think when Paul gives that direction there in 1 Timothy 5, I think he's in one sense, right. There's a base level, like, look, this is just part of life together, is that we're going to honor those that providentially are whether by authority or by age or by gifts and grace are superior to us in that sense. But Paul goes on, you know, to actually then say in 1 Timothy 5, verse 3, that you're to honor widows who are truly widows. And then he actually goes on to kind of give some of the litmus test for, well, what do I mean then? You know, here's the group of widows that you're really to show honor to, whereas this other group of widows, they should probably be encouraged to go get married because they're still young and they should be encouraged in that direction. So I think even the way that Paul kind of applies some of that and walks through it, I think naturally says, of course, we are going, there are going to be people just due to natural affections that we are going to esteem and honor and probably respect a little more. But I do think that base level is there. And that's something, you know, if I can just try to be practical and applicable, you know, that is something that you know, we really need to take seriously in the fellowship of the church. you know, it's sometimes, you know, just in the generational conflicts, you know, the older people can kind of get disgruntled and, oh, those young people, they need to be listening to us. And young people can kind of get rebellious and things like that. Look,
are you listening into my thoughts right now, Kyle?
I am listening to your thoughts. It's really creepy. But I, you know, Paul says that, look, you need to treat older men in the church like a father, and you need to treat older women in the church like a mother, and vice versa, right? So Paul actually goes on to say, you know, those who are younger men, you treat like a brother. Those who are younger women, you treat like a daughter or a sister, what have you. And so there is a baseline. There is a baseline, right? We don't get to just not honor people because I don't feel like it, even though, Scott, you use the language of tax bracket. So if that helps you think about that and visualize it, we'll go with it.
Well, that was an old joke I heard a long time ago. We're all created equal, just in different tax brackets. Anyway, but it's always stuck with me. When you're old, you draw on things that you remember from the past.
As a theonomist, I understand why that joke would really connect with you.
Something else. Something else, I think, I think part of the reason that we're addressing this is because we live in a mean age. I mean, there's the Twitter lynch mobs and all of this that's going on the social media. And we all saw it when John MacArthur died. There was just people who jumped on, and I, you know, brought up past cases of things that had happened at the church, or I even saw, you know, some people condemning him to hell for various beliefs that he had. And I just think we live in an age where there's just this nasty, mean spirit that's out there, and we in the church have to be careful, because we're really called to a high standard of how we treat one another. And another perspective on all this is that we're all made in the imago Dei, the image of God, and we're to reflect God's glory and reflect how he treats people and the way that we treat people. And I just think that's so important. Even in the Reformed Church, you know, as much as we want to emphasize our doctrines of grace and help people understand how totally depraved they are, what sinners they are, we still have to remember that when someone's redeemed, I'm to think of them more as a saint who still sins rather than just a sinner. And we're to treat each other as the holy ones of the Lord. And that really elevates the care that we show to one another, the way that we speak to one another, the way that we treat one another. It really ties in with the whole concept of the great commandments of love. So I think that's part of what we're talking about this, is that sadly too often in the church or in Christians on social media, we can see this kind of wolf pack mentality to go and attack different people. And I just think we have to be really careful of that, because that is not, in my estimation, the spirit of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean, and again, here's where the balance comes in, that doesn't mean there's an appropriate time to address a serious issue. I think there were some serious issues that took place at a Grace Community Church, and I know those have been addressed, and to some degree, some are not satisfied with John MacArthur's response to them before he passed away. But we don't know all the details, and a lot of us are commenting on things that we don't really know a whole lot about. And I think that's also something we have to guard against as God's people.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I appreciate everything you're saying. And we're talking generally about, up to this point, we've been talking about how we are to treat living people while they're alive. Now, you did kind of start broaching the subject of after John MacArthur's death, in particular, people jumped on board and, you know, on Twitter and or whatever social media app they use, and condemning him or praising him and or making him almost a saint, as it were. You have both ends of that spectrum. How are we to, you know, when somebody dies, what is the proper role and the honor that we are to pay them? I mean, does it change? I once heard, it's a joke, but we have to talk bad about people while they're alive, because you can't talk bad about them when they're dead. But I think there's, you know, people get angry if you bring up something negative about somebody who's died. But when you do that, you run the risk of almost glorifying them into this sainthood, which we all believe is false. So how are we to properly honor those who have gone before us in death without stepping or crossing over that line of almost deifying them for what they have done? What's the proper approach that we should have? And it's not just great, you know, good men or great theologians or good pastors. I mean, it's everybody. I mean, you see this, you run into this with, you know, to be honest with you, I see it in my work where I have a victim of maybe a homicide, and everybody wants to talk about how great they are. But when you look at their life, you know, maybe they weren't always so great. So how are we to appropriately honor people who have died without crossing that line?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, it would actually be interesting, now that I think about this, it'd be very interesting to get like a church historian on a question like this. Because, right, this is what historians have to deal with, honestly. You know, you sometimes hear about in the field of historical study and biography, you know, hagiography, and the way in which, you know, we can so color a person or an event or the past or whatever with these rose-colored glasses on that you know, it removes the ability to be objective. And I think that it would just be interesting to me to hear a church historian kind of interact with that, you know. Here we're thinking in light of the recent, you know, current events of John MacArthur's death. But this is just something that just naturally is a question that we have to ask ourselves across the spectrum. You know, even when I think of my historical heroes, you know, there are many things to commend and laud about them, and yet they're fallible men and they're sinners and they didn't do everything right. So I think, you know, one of the things that I think we need to guard against is, you know, one, we do need to be objective. And, you know, while it's probably appropriate for a time and a season, you know, to just mourn the loss of a person in the immediate moment, we grieve with those who grieve, you know, at the same time, we are allowed to give an honest assessment of their life, their character, you know, especially when they are a prominent public figure and teacher like John MacArthur. That welcomes public comment. And, you know, nobody should be in the public sphere who's not content, even in death, to have things said about them and have their life, you know, reexamined and thought about and written about and talked about. So I think in those terms, I think sometimes we do need to be a little careful. You know, it's an apostolic command in 1 Thessalonians 4:11 to mind our own business. You know, so if we again just use John MacArthur as the example, I know I've never read a book by John MacArthur. I have looked at a handful of sermons when I might need a little bit of help on something. And beyond that, I have very little knowledge, interaction with John MacArthur. I'm pretty content to therefore mind my own business. You know, of course, I've heard things and I've seen things on social media, things like that, you know, oh, you know, Grace Community Church, whatever, Master's Seminary, we got concerns here and there. I'm content to say, you know what, it's really not my business. Even, you know, just because he's died doesn't therefore mean it becomes my business. So I do think people need to think in those terms as well. You know, what is your business? You know, if there are people who had more personal knowledge of him, if there are people who have been hurt by him, well, then obviously that's part of their business. But for Kyle's part, not my business. I'm very content obeying Paul's command. Those are just some thoughts.
Kyle, you brought up having a church historian. I've talked to David Whitla, our professor of church history, about this. He, for his PhD work, did his studies on Archibald Johnston of Warriston, who was a leading figure during the covenanting times in Scotland in the 17th century, a lawyer and a brilliant thinker. He's done a number of talks at our Westminster conferences on him. And I think David's done a good job of highlighting what he brought to the table, but also some of his excesses that probably led him down some wrong paths at times. And it's been a learn just listening to him develop this very intriguing character, this personality, has been a great way to learn about how to approach scripture, how to approach prayer, how to approach God's will, those types of things that he's addressed through him. And I do think that, you know, we don't want to have a hagiography. We don't want to exalt people beyond their rightful place. And we've talked on here before how important it is in this day and age where You know, you can have social media platforms, you know, a podcast, a blog, you can get on, you know, be on Sermon Audio, and you can have this presence online. We should never be replacing in our hearts and affections, our local churches, the people that we can see weekly. Those should be the people that we primarily are working at, loving, esteeming in the Lord, honoring in the Lord. That doesn't mean we can't benefit from a voice from afar. We certainly can. But our primary, if you think of it more like concentric circles, it should be those that we're more in immediate relationship, and then it should just widen out from there.
Yeah, and that's really important, because that kind of leads into the next question. You know, we've been talking about these public figures in the Christian church, as you know, we have discussed R.C. Sproul or John MacArthur. Do we take the same approach then to those who are a little bit closer, that concentric circle? You know, dear friends have passed away, dear men I've served with on session have passed away, and you know, how do we honor them appropriately? Because a lot of time, most people don't even know them, like we do. But how do we make sure that we're not making this hagiography, or whatever fancy word you guys use, in our own mind of those who we cherish deeply and we have lost?
I think it's important. The scripture says that of those who have passed away, their deeds shall follow them. I do think it's important for us to remember people that the Lord has used in our lives. And so talking about them, remembering the blessing they were in our lives, sharing their stories with the generations that are following are important. I think it's important in families to do that. Your children and grandchildren know those that went before them in the Lord. I think it's important in the church to do. Again, obviously, it has its appropriate places. And again, the more, obviously, church history is filled with leading figures, you know, the John Calvins and the John Knox and all, you know, the Augustines and all these great men. And you can't remember all of them, because we know that there was a cloud of witnesses around in those days and ages, and a lot of those names have passed into obscurity. But it is fun to hear stories, sometimes learn about others that we might not so readily hear about. Read when biographies come out, read a biography of someone. I just think there are ways like that we should remember the past. We're not, again, in America, I think we, you know, the saying is the church has about a 5-year memory. And I think it's really important for us in the church to be teaching church history and reminding people of the saints who have been there in the past and have handed down the faith to us, or who have set examples for us to follow, and teach those stories and teach those lessons to the coming generation.
But wouldn't you say it's also important to teach of the folly of some of the men in the past,
yeah,
too? I'm not trying to cast aspersions on anybody. I'm not speaking of anybody in particular, but you know,
name names, Scott, name names. Just kidding.
I will not name names. Nonetheless, oftentimes what we can do is we can just remember the good. And I think almost commit idolatry with their legacy. I wouldn't say we worship it, but you know, we almost glorify the good to the exclusion of the dangers. And you know, certainly you think of men like John MacArthur, who did a lot of good things, but he also had some pretty bad, you know, things that we would disagree with fundamentally in terms of theology.
Go ahead and say it. He had some pretty bad teaching. You are allowed to say that.
I try to be careful. I don't want to be sued for defamation. That's something that's always on my mind as an attorney. I know you pastors don't care about that
now,
as much as I do.
He can't sue you now.
But, you know, I think it's important to be honest about a person's life and to point out, yeah, they had, there was good, but don't forget the bad as almost a warning. I mean, don't you think the Lord permits us and encourages us to remember that as well. I mean, he constantly reminded.
Not only, yes, permits us. Yes, you know, I think wisdom just compels us to at times, you know, and I think you think about the way the Bible itself does that in its historic narratives. You know, it's not, this isn't what lends the Bible its definitive authority, but the unashamed way in which the Holy Spirit, for an everlasting memorial, has commented on the follies and the sins of some of those that we revere most in biblical Christianity. You know, there is hardly a commendable character in all the Bible for whom we do not simultaneously have something negative, whether it was sin, whether it was folly, whether it was a lack of wisdom, you know, and God, you know, you think of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, men whose lives were riddled with inconsistencies and sin. The Holy Spirit bears, you know, eternal testimony to those things. And God is still honored to be called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so I think the Bible sets a pattern for us to think about that. And it's especially true, you know, when we deal with public teachers like John MacArthur. Like, we should be critical of some of the things John MacArthur taught, because it wasn't right. You know, and to just kind of gloss over that or brush it under the rug, you know, all in the name of we can't speak ill of the dead, is actually not, it's not serving the truth. And it's not serving, at the end of the day, the real glory of Jesus Christ. You know, and when you come into your interpersonal relationships, you know, maybe if we stop thinking about, you know, the men that are really public and really visible to people, you know, this is true of, you know, this is true of children. When your parents pass, you do seek to honor them still in their death with their memory. And, you know, you still think upon the counsel and the correction that they gave you, and you don't hold that in contempt and mock at it. And yet at the same time, it is okay as a means of serving the truth and things like that to recognize, yep, mom and dad were sinners, and they screwed up and they made mistakes. So I think the Bible sets a pattern for us to think of all people in that way. And I think the glory of it, right, is that maybe the joy is that our you know, these people that we remember have left this temporal world. Lord willing, they are standing in the presence of Christ. And so even when we point out their sins and their follies, we look at Christ and we say, you know, that's why Christ died. Christ died so that even people like that in their sins, in their wrong teachings, you know, we all stumble in many ways. And John MacArthur was a very public teacher, and his words stumbled in many ways, as do all preachers. So I think that's how I think about some of it.
Barry, do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I was actually
content with Kyle's answer.
Yes, I was headed that way myself, just thinking about the record of Scripture, the Peter, you know, his impetuous nature, King David, his sin with Bathsheba, Uriah. Just there's huge flaws, and yet at the end of the day, they were God's people.
Yeah, and I mean, even think of somebody like Samson, who, I mean, his flaws clearly seem to outweigh his,
no kidding,
his good. And yet he's listed in the Hall of Faith. So, I mean, there is hope. That's, yes, that's what I know. It's and that hope is in Christ. We are kind of coming to the end of our time. You know, do you have any closing thoughts and how, because I think this is an important topic, not just when a public figure passes away, but even when, like Kyle, you mentioned a parent, or maybe a parent in the Lord, a father, a mother in the Lord passes away, how we're to remember them and how best to honor them. Do you guys have any closing thoughts or opinions or ideas?
I just say, you know, the best training ground is to honor them in their life and when they are alive. You know, I think Barry made mention of this earlier. I you know, it's very bothersome to see on social media the way in which people interact with others and the way that young, arrogant, cocky men especially can just be so dishonoring to people whom the Bible says you need to honor them. And vice versa, to be an equal offender, the way that those who should be aged saints in grace, the way in which they do not relate to those who are inferior in age in a way that honors Christ. You know, you're not going to honor people rightly in their death if you're not honoring them rightly in your day-to-day relationships with them while they're still alive. And I think that's important. You know, it is interesting that our catechism, primarily when it exposits the fifth commandment, does not really make reference to how to continue to do this in death. It is about here's the way you are to honor people in life. So that's what I'd say.
Yeah, just to agree with Kyle, I was just a few weeks ago at the funeral of Dr. Jack Kinnear, who served at the seminary for 18 years as a PCA minister and doctor. And, you know, I was asked to give a eulogy where we speak a good word, and it was easy to do for Jack because he was such a faithful servant. And as he suffered through cancer about the last decade of his life, you just saw more and more of Christ shining through him. So it was easy to say things at his funeral. But like Kyle's saying, I think a lot of people around us they're downtrodden, they're discouraged. And when we can, you know, speak a kind word, a gentle word, a commending word into their lives, it can really, build each other up. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. We used to say that around our house all the time, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. And I think that's part of what our duty is, especially as leaders in the church, is to see where saints are seeking to follow the Lord. And even if it's just baby steps or small things that they're doing, small acts of kindness, we can commend them and encourage them. I just think that's a big part of our Christian life.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate that. And just to put it into practice, it's my honor to be able to serve as a co-host with two great men like Kyle and Barry. I'm working on it now, just so you know.
Respecting on your eulogy.
Yes, not my own eulogy, but you know, if the day ever comes where I have to speak, I need to practice now speaking good about both of you, so that if the day ever would have to come, it would come naturally to me. No, I.
If Scott Hunt is the one that gives my yagoogly, oh.
Yagoogly. Oh, Kyle. If I ever have to, and I pray I never do, I will use that word, yagoogly.
Okay, you're on the schedule GPT. Now. Okay, you're on the
schedule. But I do, I appreciate your guys' insight. I mean, it's an important topic for us to think about. It's a hard topic to think about death and honoring people, but I do think we need to train ourselves now as we think about these things, so that in the future we can act appropriately and show respect and show honor. And Barry, I like what you said. It's important to start now when people are living to show the respect and honor and build people up while it's still today and while you still can. Well, it is an honor to be able to be on 3GT and to have you listeners listen to us. To give us your time and your ear. We also love to hear your thoughts and your inputs. So if you have any questions or thoughts or comments, please feel free to let us know. You can email us at 3gt.xyz@gmail.com. We always love hearing from you. You can support us on Apple Podcasts as well by subscribing there. And we look forward again to joining with you on 3GT.